Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you?
Yes, we do have a treat for you today. I am Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. Today is the first day of March. It's the beginning of International Women's Month. Next week is going to be the special International Women's Day, but we're going to give you a preview to that because I'm going to share with you the Government of Canada's theme for International Women's Day. It is Invest in Women, Accelerate Progress. It's a call to action and a reminder that gender equality is one of the most effective ways to build healthier, more prosperous, and more inclusive communities. We all have a role to play in building a future where everyone can reach their full potential. We all have a role to play in building a future where everyone can reach their full potential. It's time to act because women's success is everyone's success. We are going to get involved today with something else that is special to Vancouver, and that is the Coastal First Nations Dance Festival. We have guests here that I'm going to have introduce themselves to you momentarily. The 2024 Coastal First Nations Dance Festival runs from today, the 1st to the 3rd of March. And during that time, all events are going to be held at the Anvil Center. And the venue is located on 777 Columbia Street, right here in New Westminster. So without further ado, I'm going to take you into our special guest today so you can hear about the wonderful dances and celebrations and information that will be exchanged as part of the 2024 Coastal First Nations Dance Festival. Well, as I promised, we are getting started with meeting three women from the Coastal Dance Festival, starting with Karina. First of all, welcome to Saluau. This is Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon, where a guest and I speak up about different topics where you can listen up and take action on them. So we really would like to have people understand that two things, this is on the first, there's the cultural festival is starting here, and on the first is the start of International Women's Month. You'll hear a lot about International Women's Day. Different states, different cities have their own thrust and theme, but our theme, Canada's theme, is supporting women and acknowledging the role that women have played throughout history. And we know within Canada, Indigenous women, sometimes in the history of Canada, have not been portrayed, have not been given the depth of information. So today I'm talking about the cultural festival. Maybe you can highlight some of the ways in which the festival does that.
So you'd like me to introduce myself?
Yes.
Okay. Gila Kastokhla Nuku Am Kamenawadzi Piwi Khala Sumchan Gaiklin Lach Namris Lawit is Quikosit Inuch Glu Glu Quagyukl Quakukwakwin Nimukmin Hunukwi Adidi My Kochla Sumchae Akuk a lach Nowlok Healing Society. My name is Pee-wee Alfred, Great Throwing Power. I come from Alert Bay, Turner Island, Fort Rupert, and Guilford Island. I am Kwakukiwok. I have one son, his name's Michael. And I used to teach at the school for 25 years, and I recently started teaching for or being a manager at the Nawalok Healing Society. And my position is to train the teacher. So I'm teaching people how to be language teachers and in an immersion setting. Would you like to hear about the dance group, or would you like everyone to introduce themselves first?
Yes, everyone introduce themselves first, but what is your specific role with the festival?
My specific role is I am the manager of the Yisyitwinuch dancers. And we all come from different tribes within the Kwakukyuok. There's 18 tribes.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm the manager of the dance group and formed the group maybe 10 years ago.
That's awesome. We were talking about management and having a purpose, so it sounds like you're overflowing, but being able to successfully bring something together like this conference and this cultural celebration. Okay, Guna. Welcome. Welcome to CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby.
Hi, my Thinkit name is Guna, and that translates to the natural spring water melting down the mountain in the spring. My English name is Megan Jensen, and I am participating in this right now for representing my mother, Marilyn Jensen, who is the dance group leader of Dakhakwan Dancers. So I'm a longstanding member of Dakhakwan, and I've been dancing in that group for over a decade. And on top of that, I'm a visual artist, a full-time visual artist and workshop facilitator. So I kind of live and breathe purpose in every area of my life every day. So
that's wonderful. We're going to ask you more about your role and what people will be seeing when they come to the festival starting on Monday. Not Monday, starting on Friday. Sunafula.
Hatsquile Tanoya, Sunafula Piensna, Tanat Chentla, Sahan Okomeo, A Wanaxin Squalowin, A Yuan Hatlin Squalowin, Teetseets. Hi, everybody. I'm Fanakula Weiss. I'm from the Squamish Nation. I was just introducing myself to you in our Squamish Nation, our Squamish language. And I'm never really thought of our role. So I guess I'm kind of our leader of our, is a kind of just a smaller dance group. It's made up of our four generations. So I've got my grandmother, Kaltzia, Barbara Weiss, and I've got my mom, Toitsanat Cease Weiss, and then I've got my three daughters and myself. And so it started off just my mom and I wanted to share protocol and language and songs together. And then through the years, my grandma had been quite sick with breast cancer, so she wasn't always able to come out and share with us. But luckily, her health has been improving, and we just practice our culture and language and plant medicines to help lift our spirits and have our four generations come together. So it's really special. My grandma can't speak our language after residential school. It's too hard on her, but for her to see her grandchildren and great-grandchildren sharing our language and culture, it just means the world to her.
That's wonderful. That's first. It's so important. What are some of the differences that you see when people down through generations are able to share a culture rather than just reading or hearing about some things that may have been great about this individual or the other individual?
I think for us, just, yeah, having, like, I think my children don't even know the impacts. Like, they might know or be somewhat aware of residential school impacts, but just for them to not know that pain of not being allowed to say their name in our language or not know that firsthand experience of the things that our families had to go through, but for them to be able to share about our language and our culture and our different teachings about the, our relationship to the our territory is just really special. And for my grandma to get to witness and be part of sharing what her teachings are of our family and our culture is really special.
It's really special what you're sharing today and what you'll be sharing across the weekend, because we have a statement from the government to honor women, to know the history, to support them. But without having that history well known, or having events like this dance where people can see it, not just hear about it, is very important. Could either of you share a little bit about the history of this cultural festival?
I guess I could share that my mom and I have started maybe around 10 or 15 years ago, but over the years, the Coastal Dance Festival has been, many years ago, out at the Museum of Anthropology at UBC and their main hall, and I know that that's been under construction, so it must have been about five or roughly somewhere around those years that it's been held now at the Anvil Center in New Westminster, so just seeing that it's a really great venue to have matinee shows during the day and then ticketed events in the evening and throughout the weekend, to see that the organizers, the dancers of Dema Lahamid, have been really amazing powerhouse kind of community members to bring in local Indigenous nations from the area, as well as reaching out to many urban Indigenous people who live nearby, and then even bring people internationally to be a part of this festival to share their dances and songs, if anyone else wants to add as well.
Yeah, about probably the same time that we used to go to the Museum of Anthropology and share our culture along with other dance groups. And that was when we were still the Gwatwina dancers. I was part of a different dance group back then. And I just always really loved attending these big dance, I'm going to call it a dance gig, sharing culture with one another. Because we don't know other cultures, right? We're like here in Alert Bay, we don't get exposed to other cultures. So it's just really awesome to come together and share with one another, share our culture with one another. And that's why I love this Coastal First Nations Festival, because we get to learn what each other's cultures and history is, right?
And when people come, can you kind of walk through from Friday? It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It ends on Sunday. Yes, yeah, so when your groups perform, and just kind of a walkthrough. If a person comes, what's the overview of what they'll see and ways that they can get involved? I know the Anvil Center is a really beautiful place, but how will people feel immersed in culture and the joy of this event?
Go ahead, Megan.
She's looking. You're looking like, okay, somebody else. Come on, Megan.
You saw me take off my mute for a second. Yes. I just wanted to, before I can answer your question too, but I just wanted to say as well that as Indigenous dancers and this idea of performing, you know, there's what we do and our ceremonies and the way we conduct ourselves and going through our own business and our potlatches and our own home communities. And then there's what we do for the public. And, there's at times where it feels very performing like, and what I mean by that is that we're that it feels far away and distant from doing our community-based work. But what is so beautiful about the Coastal Festival is that it merges so beautifully this space of where there's an audience and it's super welcoming for people that could be traveling from all over the world, but it also has community members, and they've also created a space that's been so well thought out, and it does have those protocol pieces and it has that piece of respect so that it doesn't feel like a spectacle. So I guess what I mean is that there's times in very like touristy spaces as performers where it feels like a spectacle, and it's so much more than that, because we're performing, we're putting on a show, but we're also telling you a story and we're showing you who we are. We're really showing you so much about us, and it's sacred. So the dancers of Dema Lahamid, the people that host this event, they do such a wonderful job to make all that, bring all these pieces together. And you're going to experience that. And you're going to know that this is authentic. And you know that you're going to bear witness to all of these stories and witness an extensive amount of history that's also being brought to the present, being celebrated now. And so when you come to this festival, on Friday, so there's day performances and there's evening performances. And the evening performances, in a sense, they're both theatrical, the day performances and the evening performances, but at night, it's in the theater of the Anvil Center upstairs. And it has a bit more of a theatrical element to it. And then, but there's also performances happening in the daytime. So you can expect walking into a space and really being blown away by the amount of diversity of nations and representations that you will see. You'll hear and feel these drum beats from different nations, and you'll feel it at your core, and it'll move you, it'll inspire you, and it empowers us as Indigenous people. And I think I think the Coastal Festival is a really phenomenal example of a way for other people to be welcomed in, other by just like non-Indigenous people that want to learn more or want to experience our culture in a way where they know they're not being offensive, or, you know, all these different fears that sometimes happen for people when they haven't experienced Indigenous culture much yet. It's a perfect opportunity for that, for cross-cultural understanding and for having these wonderful kind of discussions that we're having now. So I'll stop that in a nutshell.
So you've been here other years. Do you find that there are people that you recognize who've come before, or does it seem like there's a new energy of wanting to come and be immersed rather than wanting to come to be entertained?
Asking me that?
Yes. Well, anybody could jump in.
Ask that again?
Well, you know, you talked about how much people get involved, but I was asking, Do you sense from year to year that there's some people who repeat or some people who really want to not be entertained as much as involved, engaged, as you mentioned?
Like, so do I ever experience people that are expecting more of a spectacle versus sharing?
Well, I mean, are you feeling from last year or previous years to now that there are people who more want to get involved rather than just see a show?
Oh, yeah. I think by involved, do you mean dancing or just like engaging in any way?
Engaging in any way.
Oh, yeah. I think this festival continues to build that kind of community. I've seen so much participation. I think that there was a bit of a shift when MOA started renovating the Museum of Anthropology. So there was a bit of a shift there because there's this kind of routine and system at the Museum of Anthropology. But this is really a long-standing festival, very long-standing festival. And in the eyes of us as dancers, like, it's one of our favorite festivals to dance at. It's one of the most exciting, and, you know, we've danced internationally, we've danced in many different places, and Coastal Festival is one of the best due to that respect, due to that energy.
Sunafula, how about you? What do you find in the engagement with people for your presentations?
Yeah, absolutely. We in the past have done some years where it would be kind of like during the matinees, we're focused kind of more on inviting school groups, so school-age children to come kind of experience firsthand our culture sharing through dance. And so with just our involvement over the years, we usually do ours during the daytime, and we always find it so welcoming. And even like for my own group, like my grandma is a storyteller and she shares her knowledge, but she's not as confident in feeling like sharing our language or singing or dancing in many ways, but for her to come and feel so welcomed and feel really honored and respected to come and join our family on the stage to share about our culture and who we are is just, it's really been such a meaningful thing every single year for us to come back and just feel it's almost this, like, even though it's once a year, it still has this kind of familial sense that when we walk in, even through the backstages of seeing all the other dance groups getting ready and preparing themselves and us just getting our ourselves organized and ready to go up. And it just has both from the organizers and all the other dance groups who are sharing, as well as the audience of just being really like last year, my daughter was my youngest was only 4 weeks old. So I had her in a little tiny baby carrier. So I was like, this is our newest member of our dance group who is 1 month old, hopeful Quelios Leo, and everyone just cheered him and just was like very welcoming and very wonderful feelings in the room.
Yeah. What I like about the intergenerational nature of what you're doing is we hold that as a value, but sometimes when you hear the news or you hear things, it's like one generation set against the other. I'm a baby boomer. Some people will say boomers, Bob, but I think just by coming to and seeing intergenerational participation, do you think that that will make a difference in ways here in Canada that people can be more honoring and welcoming of people from each generation to take part in creative events?
Yeah, that's really true. I definitely have noticed that in like more, whether it's like TV shows or pop culture, that it's always like, oh, it's really against each other's generation as if we have to like fight each other. But really, I think it's very much part of our most Indigenous cultures is having that importance of connection to each generation. And even as myself as a mother, like I can't go to the movies, I'm like, oh, people will glare if my baby cries or makes a noise during the important part of the movie. But I think definitely with like these kind of things, it's really kind of how we bring our communities together is through that strength of our generational sharing and really seeing that it's so much like we see our children as teachers. It's not just like adults are the main kind of part of society, whereas we see children as teachers, we see our gifts that we get from our elders and our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, and just definitely seeing other groups for myself that have many generations is really kind of empowering just to see those bonds as well that they're sharing.
Would you walk us through again, where do people get tickets? Where, how the festival flows from one day to the other?
The organizer, Margaret Grenier and Andy, they work really hard at advertising, sending us all emails. They'll post, they tag, they do a lot of advertising so that everyone's... and then I think they have like a ticket place where you can go and click on the link and then it will send you to a place where you can go and purchase the tickets. You can buy them online, I believe, at the door. Yeah, they're really awesome with their advertising. And it's gotten better and better throughout the years, too.
Quickly checked to see what the link was called. It's tickets, NW, as in... New Westminster. Ticketsnw.ca has tickets for the Anvil Theater performances. And I think the daytime matinee is sold out, but I believe the signature evening performances had still some of the events were still tickets available.
Wonderful. It's like too short. It needs to be a week. Yeah. But I think it's wonderful that it's starting right at the beginning of Women's History Month. Are you all in either of your dance performances or engagement with the public? Are you mentioning anything or the connection to International Women's Day or Women's Month?
I think ours might have performed on Women's Day a number of years ago. But usually we just share that our group is like mothers and daughters and, you know, grandmothers, great-granddaughters. But we sometimes try to focus on our women's history in our group. But that's something it's kind of a nice timing for that to be sharing about life givers and the history that our families have.
Yeah. What could you share the particular day, each of you, the day and time that your presentations are happening?
Gee, I need to look at my email.
I can say when Dr. Kwan will be performing. So we'll be performing Friday evening for the evening show that starts at 7:30. And we're the last performance out of that whole show. So there's a total of four different groups that are performing that night, and we're the last one. And then on Saturday, so those performances start at 1 p.m. and it goes till 4:30 p.m. And we are the second performing group for that segment. And then on Sunday, we dance again for the afternoon, again between 1 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. And we're the second performance group.
So when people buy a ticket, there's a cluster of performances.
Yeah, so you're not just seeing one performance. Mm-hmm. You're seeing in the evening show, you'd see four. And for the afternoon performances, you're seeing like seven or eight different performances.
And then are there times on the premises, gathering times or spaces where people are able to talk to members of different groups? Is it set up for any interaction between you and the public?
I think the way that the way the structure of the Anvil Center is, like the way that it's set up, I mean, after we dance and we come out, it's kind of, we're kind of free game for people to talk to us. He laughs because it's true. Like, and some of us, you know, a lot of us keep our regalia on. Like, we come out after we dance because we want to watch other performances. So you can tell that we were a performer, and it's really normal for people to come up and chat with us. I do know that the festival sets up, they usually set up like different programs that are like keynotes or and that's where my knowledge is limited for this year, but I've seen, you know, sometimes they have different workshops and stuff like that. Yeah. But I think there's a lot of opportunity for sure to talk to us.
That's good to know.
So the East, we know dancers dance on Saturday at 7 o'clock. It's like back-to-back performances. So we're between 7 and I don't know what the other time is. Doors open at 7. So it starts at 7:30. I think we're back-to-back, Kay, Megan, I believe.
What's that?
Our groups are back-to-back. So we're East.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Are you Gihon?
No, we're Dakka Kwan.
And then so, on Sunday, we're at 2 o'clock, they said. But I know before, they used to have culture exchanges. So one year, we did a culture exchange with the Maoris. And so we spent a lot of time with the Maoris in this one room. And then we had their woman dancing our dances. And then we ended up dancing with them and singing with them. It was really, really cool. So that was one year, and I don't know if they do that anymore.
I guess it'll be an adventure in unfolding.
Yeah.
Each of you, I wanted to ask, we were talking about the shifts and managing time, how many different things people are sometimes expected to do because we could be on Zoom and we forget that your body still has to travel from place to place. But I wanted to ask you each about your purpose. What do you see as your purpose in life, your purpose in your craft? I'll ask you first, Pewee.
I really believe my purpose in life, because an elder asked me, he said, "Masi dasinate," he said to me. And that just means, what's your purpose? And for the life of me, I have always been a singer. I've always been a dancer. I've always learned language. I was raised with my grandparents. So we were exposed to language, dancing, and singing right from when we were babies, me and my brother. And Later on, I became a teacher for 25 years, and now I'm a manager of language. And now I'm learning and teaching in an immersion setting. And so now I get to teach little babies from like a language nest to elementary school, to teenagers, to teaching all these adults how to be teachers, to learning, still learning from the elders. And, you know, so I really believe that my purpose is to, yeah, just teach language, culture, and singing. I try to sway away from it, and my heart kept going back to it. And it's the thing that makes me the most happiest. And to continue to empower our people, empower our women, educate them about respecting their bodies and respecting themselves, leading a good path in my sobriety. I've been sober for 25 years, clean and sober for 25 years, to carry myself respectfully. So in hopes that the young girls are, you know, learning to respect their bodies and respect themselves, respect, you know, everything in life. So that's what I believe my purpose is.
Well, thank you for sharing. What about you, Guna?
My purpose? Oh, man. Well, I think I was, oh my God, I can talk about this forever. How do I summarize? I think everything that encompasses who I am as a Tlingit woman and my ancestry is a part of my purpose. I didn't start dancing until I was a teen, and I always tell people that when I started dancing, it felt like something came alive in me that was asleep before that. And as I've begun to practice more in different aspects of our cultural practices, the more that I've felt that feeling, the part of me coming alive that was asleep. So that language revitalization is a part of that as well. And also particularly the arts. So as an artist, I'm always exploring the stories of our people historically, but also in the contemporary moment, what it's like to be Indigenous artists in, like right now, and telling that story and reclaiming our voice and reclaiming the narrative and reclaiming our image is a part of my purpose. And I think Dakwa Kwan, this dance group, a big part of that purpose is exemplifying self-determination, the self-determination that our people have. And I know that's something my mom would say right now about the dance group. And a part of the purpose too is just, you know, just like prior to being a dancer, I never thought I would be doing this in front of people. But like I said in the beginning, it's not a spectacle. We are showing you who we are, and we are sharing sacred parts of who we are and our ancestry and our cultural practices. So it becomes something so much more than like, no, this isn't a performance. Like, we're exchanging something that's beautiful in this safe space. And so I think with Dakwa Kwan, we hope that we are able to, you know, empower others the way that we were empowered the minute that we decided to do what we do now. And hope to inspire other people to feel that agency in their life the way that we are able to find that through our dancing and through all of our cultural practices. Yeah, that's the most concise I can probably be. But I mean, you know, the purpose is everything.
Right.
It's everything. And I think I think about purpose every day. And when life gets hard and there's, you know, difficult forces surrounding us and there's these barriers we experience, and terrible things happening in the world, I think purpose is one of those pieces that helps us keep walking. So it can't be underestimated. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that's a good point for me to have to, I'm going to have to go.
Okay. Well, thank you for what you shared, because one of the reasons I've started asking just about everybody I interview about their purpose is I've had the experience of asking someone, what's your purpose? And they go, duh, purpose. Well, I'm waiting for somebody to tell me, rather than what you've talked about is from the experiential learning and feeling as you go along what your purpose is. So I know as part of your purpose, you may have to leave. I'm going to continue on asking more questions, but thank you for taking
time. So thank you so much, though. And see you at the festival.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll see you there.
Yeah. Makes me want to come 3 days now instead of one.
Do it. You should.
See, I have to watch all of us.
Yeah. We're going to remember now. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Okay, Suna, what about, do you have time to discuss or express your purpose? Okay.
Yeah. I think for me, like when I was kind of like a teenager or like a kid, I didn't realize that my mom had always shared with me about our plant knowledge. And so when I was like around 18 or 19, she would be like, I need to be traveling out of town for the weekend or for some amount of time. So I'm going to have you share, like kind of replace me as being the teacher for a workshop or guiding a plant walk. And to me at that time, I was like, I'm not a teacher. I don't know how to, like, I don't know how to talk about our native plant medicines or, share about our culture things. And then that was kind of, in a way, just kind of, my mom saw those qualities in me that I could teach or I could share and present. And so it was something that I'm grateful that I was kind of able to be put into this role before I believed that I could do it. And so just sharing about how we connect to our plant medicines for my daughters, just seeing them, we like gather medicines together. So just seeing that they're really connected in their own way of knowing how the plants feel when they gather them and drink tea that we made and harvesting medicines and plants. So I think just part of that bring that connection to nature and our plant medicines has been a real kind of guiding purpose in my life.
It's so important now. There's a lot more talk about the value and the benefit of medicines and feelings from plants. And some people playing on that interest, they stick the name plant-based on things, or they stick the name nature or natural. So are there times or any other forums where you do workshops about plants, natural healing?
Yeah, that's a big part of my work. That I've done with my mom for many years is that we have our own tea company, Raven and Hummingbird Tea Company. So we sell like different tea blends that are focused on your health for like sore muscles, for example. But mostly the biggest part that we do with our teas is like tea blending workshops or plant walks where we bring people on the land. And it's just really wonderful to see. A lot of times people are like, I see this plant in my yard, or I see this at my school or in my community, and people just helping to bring down that kind of barrier that you don't need to be afraid or think that you're doing things wrong, that these are teachings that have been passed to you in your own family as well. A lot of times within our community that people don't always realize that you don't need to be scared of doing things the wrong way or something, that that our teachings are really present still. And we have our Harmony Garden is a community garden we started within our Capilano Humboldtson village or reserve, and that's really to show not for people to just grow their own food, but to be able to see the plants growing that are traditional foods that they're not able to grow in a lot of areas. It's so urbanized that we don't have as much forest that's accessible to harvest or see traditional foods growing. So just really having that, it's almost more of an outdoor classroom really for not just children, but anyone to come learn about the plants.
Hello.
that takes us to one of the things that's in the Government of Canada's theme for International Women's Day that could be a theme for the year, which says, because women's success is everyone's success, but of the ways to get involved, it talks about supporting women-owned businesses and learning more about inspiring Canadian women and gender equality in Canada. So politics, sciences, and the arts, we don't hear a lot about tea ceremonies, et cetera. So your company, does it have a website? Are there times that people are welcome to come to visit or learn about tea ceremony or learn about the plants?
We do some public walks. Our website is just rht.co, rhtea.co. So even if you just type into Google, like RHTCO or Raven and Hummingbird, here's what it stands for, Raven and Hummingbird Tea. We have different links on there of when we do like public events, people can sign up to do plant walks or like tea workshops or learning about teas and medicines and then different things. Like we've been on a podcast with the Polygon, just sharing a little bit about plant medicines here in our Coast Salish area, Vancouver. And then, just some more information on there. People want to learn more about it. Mm-hmm.
So will any of your tea be at the festival?
We're not like vending or anything, but we usually we just like drink our tea everywhere we go. But people can find us, online, or we a few different like local retailers have us in like gift shops and things like that. But we'll be too busy preparing our performance and show to sell any tea there. But we will be around if you want to find more information about us, for sure.
Yeah. Is there much, or does the forum, the way that the event happens, are there times that people from different parts of the country are able to talk with each other and do some sharing or networking?
Yes, I think it was mentioning like we had Maoris in previous years. I know usually there are at least a few international Indigenous groups who come and share. And sometimes it might be through just in the green room, everyone's kind of preparing and maybe rehearsing or spending time together. But I don't know if there's a formal exchange happening at this year's event, but definitely just by being part of the event, I think we're able to kind of introduce each other to other groups and make those connections.
Is that something that you see advancing or happening more frequently now than in the past, that groups are sharing their practices with each other, sharing I don't want to say child rearing, but the things that each of you have talked about that get passed on from older generations to youth. Are there any trips or things where people share customs or practices like child rearing, childbirth, any of those things? Are there, do you see that happening?
I was thinking as you were talking, I remember my granny, because a lot of times with my granny, she's a real storyteller. And the thing is that if she starts telling a story, you stop what you're doing and you look at her and she's only going to tell you one time. And so I was raised with a lot of maybe legends or teachings, and she had a lot of morals at the end of her stories. So one story she did talk about was about this woman was giving birth. So she asked her husband to pass and place a big cedar bark woven cedar bark underneath her bum. And so she gives birth to this baby, and our people, and I'm not sure if other tribes, but with our people at 10 months, we have a ceremony, and that's when your baby gets their baby name. And our ceremony is called Hishuguila. And so it's like to celebrate that the child has chosen to stay on earth. Oh. And so anyway, during this hichlugwila, the husband takes the big cedar bark, woven cedar bark, and the cedar bark's now covered in all the blood from giving birth. So he takes the two pieces of the cedar bark and gets everybody and gives two pieces to everybody in the crowd and gets them to put it on their wrist. And then so they put it on their wrist and it's all for protection. So it's to protect them. And then they get them to place two, gives two more to everybody in the crowd and gets them to place it across their chest, like crisscross. And that's to protect your heart. And then gets them to place one on their head, and that's to protect their, you know, their brain and how they think and, you know, what's in here, what's inside your head. And then gets them to place two on their feet, and that's to protect them on the everyday walk of life. So, and then he picks up the baby and he turns to his wife and says, "My healing close, and I respect you." So the power of the color red for our people is all for protection. And wow. the woman's protection, you know, for the blood that was left on the cedar bark. So anyway, that really stuck out with me when my granny was talking about it, because that just it's really important. It's important to feel the love and the teachings from our elders, right? And from within our families. But then that brings me to medicine too. And she was talking about the story of Zenzenklum, which is a stinging nettle. And I'm not sure if, what is your name? Sinak?
Yes, Sinakula.
Sinakula. And yeah, so there was a big massacre that happened with our people. And when the people came to attack our people, this one man who was pretty crippled jumped into the woods, and he jumped into the Zenzenklum, which is stinging nettle. And that's where he got that's where we knew the medicine was powerful, and it was anti-inflammatory. So it was really cool. It's just to hear all those stories. And as you were talking, just to remember all the stories my granny shared with us growing up. And she's still alive and she still shares stories. So the moment she even starts talking, you need to start listening right away.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day, managing all the things you're managing, to come to Salua, where we speak up so people can listen up and act upon what they have heard. This weekend, you're getting two for one. You're getting on Friday, the start of Women's Day, International Women's Month. And we also are getting to a way to practice one of the things that the federal government has listed, that this is a call to action and a reminder that gender equality is one of the most effective ways to build healthier, more prosperous, and more inclusive communities. So I see attending this festival is one of the things that will help people, if you're not on that path, get on that path. If it's not part of your purpose, build it in. I think as well, supporting businesses. There was just one small business mentioned here, but it's a business that represents family involvement, it represents education and learning some of the healing things that are there in the land. So use this connection between International Women's Month and this wonderful cultural dance festival, and we will see you again next week at 10. But you know what I say when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time. And thank you all for coming today, listening to our guest. I think you feel inspired that maybe it will help you reflect on your purpose. And also, during this month of learning more about inspiring Canadian women, looking at the timeline, I think we might well want to look at the timeline and make sure the timeline is inclusive of Indigenous women and the contributions they've made. Look within our family, whether you're on a college campus, at a senior center, at a hospital, you can look at ways to understand the achievements of Canadian women in various fields, such as politics, sciences, the arts, and include in that nature. We have a group that has frequently appeared on Tsluwa Eco Wisdom, and that group is helping people learn about forest bathing and all of the many ways that nature helps support our livelihood. So I thank you about that story about this, the nettle, the stinging nettle. People pay a lot of money for some pharmaceuticals that sometimes addict them. So I think the more that you can share, either when it's just talking in a forum like this or incorporating stuff in the conversations you have around dance, these are very important things for people to learn about. So thank you for helping us look at another opportunity in a way that we can apply these goals for kind of a reboot to us as women during International Women's Month.
Rajika, thanks for having us on.
Okay. Well, I look forward. Probably our paths will cross sometimes over the weekend. So thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so. Take care. See you guys there.
Yo ho hi, yo ho hi, yeah, hey ya, hey ya. Yo ho hi, yo ho hi, yeah, hey ya, hey. Yo ho hi, yo ho hi, yeah, hey ya, hey ya. Yo ho hi, yo ho hi, yeah, hey ya, hey. Lu sang sint gut sim hi, yeah, hey ya, hey. Dim e am tim will a dadil sim. Yo ho ha, yo ho ha, yeah, hey ya, hey ya. Yo ho ha, yo ho ha, yeah, hey ya, hey. Yo ho ha, yo ho ha, yeah, hey ya, hey ya. Yo ho ha, yo ho ha, yeah, hey ya, hey. Lu sex in. Sim ha ye he ya he ya, dim e am dim will a dad is a sim. Yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he ya, yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he. Lu sex in good sim ha ye he ya he ya, dim e am dim will a dad is a sim. Yo ho ha, yo ho ha, yeah, hey ya, hey ya. Yo ho ha, yo ho ha, yeah, hey ya, hey. Lu sex in good sim ha, yeah, hey ya, hey ya. Dim e am sim, will a dad is a sim. Yo ho ha, yo ho ha, yeah, hey ya, hey ya. Yo ho ha, yo ho ha, yeah, hey ya, hey. Lu sex in good sim ha, yeah, hey ya, hey ya. Tim e am tim, will a dad is a sim. Yo ho ha, yo ho ha, yeah, hey ya, hey ya. Yo ho ha, yo ho ha, yeah, hey ya, hey. Yo ho ha, yo ho. Sim ha ye he ya he ya, Tim e am Tim will a dad is a sim. Yo ho yo ho ha ye he ya he ya, yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he. Hey, he, he, yo, hey, he, he, yay. Hey, he, he, yo, hey, he, yay, he, yo, ho, he, yo. Keep by Kali, ba, some talk, ask a now. Goon la, as ex, we, Ali, ba, some talk, ask a now. Hey, he, he, yo, hey, he, he, yay. Hey, he, he, yo, hey, he, yeah, he, yo, ho, he, yo. He's walking out, sa, sector, at. Guess whisker now, Ali, ba, some talkie, Sydney. Hey, he, he, yo, hey, he, he, yay. Hey, he, he, yo. Hey, he, yeah, he, yo, ho, he, yo. Hey, he, he, yo. Hey, he, he, yay. Hey, he, he, yo, hey, he, yeah, he, yo, ho, he, yo. Keep by Kali, ba, some talk, ask a now. Goon la, as ex, we, Ali, ba, some talk, ask a now. Hey, he, he, yo, hey, he, he, yay. Hey, he, he, yo, hey, he, yeah, he, yo, ho, he, yo. He's walking out, sa, sector, at. Guess whisker now, Ali, ba, some talkie, Sydney. Hey, he, he, yo, hey, he, he, yay. Hey, he, he, yo, hey, he, yeah, he, yo, ho, he, yo. Hey, he, he, yo, hey, he, he, yay. Hey, he, he, yo, hey, he, yeah, he, yo, ho, he, yo. Keep by Kali, ba, some talk, ask a now. Goon la, as ex, we, Ali, ba, some talk, ask a now. Hey, he, he, yo, hey, he, he, yay. Hey, he, he, yo, hey, he, yeah, he, yo, ho, he, yo. He's walking out, sa, sector, at. Guess whisker now, Ali, ba, some talkie, Sydney. Hey, he, yeah, he, yo, ho, he, yo.
Well, that was an invigorating conversation. I hope you feel inspired to start thinking about how you will celebrate, how you'll share with others, how you share your passion, your purpose, things that you might have put on the back burner, bring them into the forward burner, because it is really important to explore women in Canadian history, to see Canadian history as a multicultural history, a history of people from many lands, as well as the Indigenous people whose land we are enjoying making a living on right now. So again, I'm Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, the very best place to be on Friday morning at 10, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, CJSF.ca, streaming worldwide.
Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time, love.